Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want to say how blessed we are to come together on this Lord's Day morning to glorify our God and our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is our primary objective this morning, is to glorify Him in a public way. Secondary to that, but also important to us, is the encouragement that His people receive from one another every time we come together. So let's be about that business this morning. Let's look to praise our God and to uplift one another. Before we do that, we want to take some opportunity for announcements. We want to refer to our bulletin for the most part for those things. We've got a prayer list and we've got a shut-in list. Both of those are in need of your prayer. So consult those lists for the most part for those that are struggling in different ways. I'll mention there a couple and with a little bit more detail. And Don and Kathy could probably add to this. I got this information from Jamie that our sister Dorothy Wall had surgery. I think it was Friday. Is that right? In Evansville? Yeah. So she had a blood clot, I think, in her leg, and again, correct me if I don't have all the details right. I may not have written it down right. There was a blood clot in her leg, and they believe that was a cause of a lot of the problems that she had had. She went to Evansville because they weren't able to take care of that here locally. There was a shunt or something there placed to keep that open, and I think she is continuing to take medication for additional treatment to that. So we've missed Dorothy for quite some time. It's obviously not like her to not be here and for Brother Wall as well. And we certainly miss them. We've been praying for them and we want them to know that. I'm certain if they've got the ability to listen to us this morning that they are doing that. But continue praying on their behalf, and hopefully we will see them in recovery and back with us here very soon. Again, there's multiple names there in our list. Some are members here of our congregation. Others are away. Kevin Shawyer is on that list. Shawver is on that list. He is Jasmine DeMario, Blake's wife's dad, and he is still dealing with stage 4 colon cancer. Others like Mike Porter have some detail listed about them with the blockages that he has in his heart. And then Brooklyn's friend Morgan is there. And then in addition to that, we've got some of our own family here that are struggling and need your prayers. So continue encouraging them. Talking to Naoma this morning, she has got a knot or whatever on the side of her leg. She's had something that's torn loose in there and caused a lot of internal bleeding. She went and had an MRI on it, and they said basically that the blood would just be absorbed by the body, and really there was nothing that they were recommending or planning to do in regard to that, but your prayers on her behalf are appreciated, no doubt. For our shut-in list, Rose Beattie, I think she's also on our birthday list this week. We'll get to that in a minute. But Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie Keene, all these members of the Lord's Church have not been with us in a long time, and we miss them. And we want to do our best to encourage them, to pray for them, and let them know that they're important to us. On our birthday list, there's the whole month listed there in the bulletin. I'll just go over the ones that are going to have birthdays before we meet again. And that is Kathy Powell there, a friend of David Hutchcraft. Rose Beattie, of course, who's a member here. And then David Morse has a birthday on the 5th. So happy birthday to them, and for everyone else, we're going to take opportunity to catch you in the coming weeks. I will say Dustin Jackson, he's here. His birthday is here next Sunday, so we'd love to see him if he's here, and if he's not, then let's do our best to wish him a happy birthday. We've got a lot of events in our area over the coming weeks. And most of those are detailed there in the bulletin. There's a singing today in Christopher. Our congregation is going to have a social event on Saturday the 5th, and that's a bowling night. If you are able to go and you can find any enjoyment at all out of that event, I think you'll find more out of the togetherness that you have with the Lord's people, perhaps, than even the bowling can provide. But that ought to be a good time for all who can go. Mount Vernon Church of Christ is hosting a golf tournament. They've done that for a number of years. There's a gospel meeting with Mike McDaniel, both in Anna on September 11th to 13th, and then also in Marion, October 23rd through the 25th, kind of tucked in between that. We have our own gospel meeting here with Ed Sturkey, and that's going to be on the eve, on the days after, the Sasquatch Festival, which we also are intending to put a booth at. And we've got a sign-up list in the foyer for that. We've got some names that are on that list, and we've got lots of other blank spots still for people to sign up if you have not done so already. There are some other events identified back in the bulletin. I think they're for late September for the most part. There's something, sort of a fundraiser type thing or support type benefit deal for New Pathways for children. That's a children's home in West Kentucky that we support. And then if I can remember right, the other one is a Ladies' Day for Central in Paducah. So consult that the bulletin board on your left as you're leaving the auditorium this morning. You can look at that for more detail in addition to what you see here in the bulletin. Everybody that is privileged to be able to lead in different ways in our worship service this morning has been identified with one exception. I think Jamie Poe, you had volunteered perhaps to lead the evangelism prayer. We're going to have that here in just a moment. Before we do, we want to say that Brent is going to make one more announcement after I sit down, but I wanted to open it up right now. If there's anybody else that's aware of anything that needs to be said to the congregation at this time, we did install elders last week. We were very blessed to be able to announce that. I think everybody here this morning was also here last week, but I'll say it for anyone that's listening on the radio. Jamie Poe and James McMillan are now elders of the Lord's Church here in Harrisburg, and what a blessed thing for us, and we look forward to moving forward under Christ's plan of organization of the church. Thank you to those men. Anything further, David?
I got a text from Martha Crane that says that she's has some flu-like symptoms, is not well, and Bob took a misstep off a ladder and fell pretty hard, but didn't break anything, but he's pretty sore. So.
All right. Please remember Bob and Martha in your prayers. Brent.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
As you know, there's some good things going on in our congregation, and to build on that, we are going to be implementing an app for our congregation here. Inside the app, they'll be able to see announcements, calendar invites, or calendar events, and different things like that. You know, you'll be able to message different groups, so we can have communication good throughout the congregation. You know, just like all the other things we got going on, you know, first you got to have contacts before you can have Bible studies. First, we got to do preliminary stuff before we can have the app. So, does everybody have one of these? If you do not have one of these, or anybody coming in, if they can hand them some. This basically will start the process of the app. I've been working on building the app, and I've used the hand directory that we have, but some of the flaws with the hand directory, some families may have only given one phone number or one email, every person needs to have either a phone number that can receive text messages or an email that can receive, you know, a message from the app. So that way there's no username and passwords. It uses a 6-digit verification code. So that way it's a little bit easier. You'll basically either use your phone number or an email. It will send you the code, and that's how you'll log in to the app once you create an account. And once I have all this information from everybody, I will input it into the, you know, admin side of the app, and then we will have one day where I will basically have a how-to guide, walk everybody through how to set it up. We'll set it up together, and you know, just if anybody has any questions or if I can help afterwards, you know, we'll work together to get through that. We encourage everybody to use the app because it's a good way for us to have good communication and be able to see events and see if anything changes from a worship service or, you know, Bible study, anything like that from time to time. If you do not have a cell phone number or an email, just get with me. You can leave it blank, go ahead and turn it in, but just let me know that, and then I will get with you to see what we can do to figure out how you can get access to the app if you do not have those two identifiers. For the children, if they don't have a cell phone or an email, go and you want them, and you don't want them to have access to the app, go ahead and put birthdays and, you know, things like that, the school they attend, so that way we can have that information. Inside the app, there's also going to be a directory, so you can actually go, you know, see, and if you need to call someone, you could go find their phone number, just like the paper directory had, except it'll just be at your fingertips in the app. If you do want children to have access to the app, and they do have a cell phone, go ahead and put it on there, and then that way, if you want them to have the app, they can download it on their phone and have it as well. Are there any questions? All right.
Thank you.
Whenever they're done.
Yeah, whenever you're done, just turn them in to me.
Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the efforts of our congregation for this ongoing evangelism program. We pray that it continues and we have great success in it. We ask this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Once again, I want to wish everybody a good morning and glad we're all here. And if you're in our radio listening audience, I want to welcome you again. Our first song this morning, well, our fourth song this morning, will be number 841. 841, the name of the song is Sing and Be Happy.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great, although they prove, there's a silver light that shines in the heavenly land. Look, my friend.
Our next song, if you just turn a few pages back, will be number 839. 839, When All of God's Singers Get Home.
Number 839.
What a song of delight in the city so bright. We'll be wrapped beneath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise. When all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home. When never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like heaven or home. When all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth, song of sadness on earth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come.
Number 783 will be the song before we have our opening prayer. And the name of that song, number 783, is Will You Not Tell It Today? And then we'll have our prayer.
Number 783, Will You Not Tell Today?
If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it?
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you so thankful for the opportunity to meet here this morning. We're thankful for the many blessings you share with us from day to day. We're thankful for the health that you grace us with. But Father, there are some of our number that are not feeling their best, that are in hospitals and nursing homes and at home and cannot be with us. We pray especially this morning for Dorothy Wall as she's dealing with many different issues, including a recent procedure that needs to heal, and some kidney problems that we're going to find out more about today. Father, please be with her and Charles as he deals with her in that situation. Father, be with Mike Porter as he deals with his heart condition. He has many concerns, I'm sure. We pray that you will touch him and help him to heal and be pain-free. Father, we're thinking about Pearl as well. Help her to continue to have her legs to heal and to get better. Father, there are just so many. We have Kevin Shaver in our family that has stage 4 cancer. We pray that you will touch that family and help them to deal with those situations and get through the chemo treatments that have just started. Please be with them. Father, we also have a world that is not the most peaceful place right now. We pray that you will touch the leaders' hearts, help them to find a way to live in peace and for everybody just to help each other. Father, as we go through our service today, help us to listen, help us to apply those things to our lives, and help us to be the Christians that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our next song will be number 669, This Is My Father's World. Number 669, This Is My Father's World. Excuse me.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the
next song will be number 764. Number 764, the name of the song is When We Meet in Sweet Communion. This will be the song before we take of the Lord's Supper, take of communion. And then after communion, we'll have the scripture reading and then another song, and then Doug's lesson. So the name of the song is When We Meet in Sweet Communion, number 764. And we'll take the Lord's.
When we meet in sweet communion, surpassing wondrous love for you and me.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your Son, that you sent him down here to earth to be an example to all of us. And Father, we know that he had to go to that cross to save us all. But at this time, we'd like to look back on that time that he stayed on the cross after being beaten severely, carrying his own cross, and being punished the way he was, not being a convicted person. We know, Father, that from this, it gives us a great example that we need to stay the course. And we pray, Father, that this bread also reminds us of the body that was on that cruel course. We want to ask you at this time to bless this bread. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer and remembrance of the day that your Son was hanging on the cross, Lord. We think of the time that they put the thorns on his head, and he says that he began to bleed, and he was bleeding from the lashes and the whipping that he took and the humiliation we can only imagine, Father. But you sent him to die on that cross so that we could have remission of our sins, and he willingly done that. That's something beyond, I guess, common man's comprehension. We thank you for that. We thank you for what your Son did on the cross that day. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
that convenes the Lord's Supper as we're conveniently gathered here. We'll take up a collection to further the work here at the Harrisburg. Our Father in heaven, bless each and every one of us that are here. Especially bless those that are doing the Lord's work. We know that this isn't always easy for any individual, but as a congregation, we do what we can. We also ask that you take care of all the ones that are needing their help. We also want you to bless us all as our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading will be found on the Pew Bible, in the Pew Bible on page 1097, and it's Revelations 14, 12, and 13. I want to encourage you to follow along if you would, please, because this reading is very pertinent to the lesson this morning. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.
If you would, please mark in your hymn books number 800. This will be the song of encouragement, the invitation song after Doug's lesson, and the name of the song is Zion's Call. Number 800, Zion's Call, is the invitation song. And then after you've marked that in your songbook, please turn over to 756. The name of this song is When We All Get to Heaven, and this will be the song before Doug's lesson. 756, When We All Get to Heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare us a place.
Sing and shout and shout the victory.
You know, it's so good to be reminded about what the Bible tells us, like the passage in our scripture reading this morning. It said that when we obey the commandments of God and are faithful to Jesus, you know, and that when we die, how should we die? In the Lord. And today what we want to talk about is what happens to us when we die. And this is a question that people have been asking for a long time. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know what's going to happen to us. The Bible tells us a lot about what's going to happen to us. And yes, there's going to be some things that we'll find out more when we get there. Like, I like the idea about singing together, you know, in heaven together, right? Can you imagine walking down the streets of gold, right? And seeing each other rather than saying hi, you're singing songs of hymns to each other and to the Lord. I don't know. We don't know about that. But there's a lot of things that we do know and that we can know. Well, first of all, what happens to this body? What happens to us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 43 and 44, it says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised how? In power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. We're all very familiar, aren't we, about the natural body, our physical bodies. We know all about its weaknesses and such. But what it tells us here is that when we get a spiritual body, it's going to be so much more. It's going to be so much better because it's always going to be. We're always going to have it. It's never going to wear out. And going on in chapter 15 and verses 51 and 52, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, of course, this is talking about exactly when Christ comes again, what's going to happen to us, that we're going to, if we're still living, we're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But we also saw that when we die, we're going to have a spiritual body. It's going to be a body that is going to last us forever. Well, the question comes about then is that where do we go? And again, there is a lot of teaching and talk about where we go that is not in the Bible. But what we need to understand and follow about is where do we go is what the Bible says about this. In Luke chapter 16, 22 and 23, let me read this first. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Okay, some things to know about this story. First of all, it is never called a parable. Never. It's a real life people that he's talking about here. It's the only story like this that people sometimes still call a parable, but it's not a parable because it's talking about people. It's the only time Jesus used a story like this where there was people involved, and it's not a parable. It is a story about things that actually happened. And it talks about Hades. Now, in the King James Bible, the word Hades here, it's just translated, there's four different translations. We won't go into all of those today, but there's four different words that the King James translates hell. And when we think of hell, we think about the place of awful eternal punishment. But Hades literally means the place of the dead. So when we die, we're going to go, if before Jesus comes again, we're going to go to a place called Hades, the place of the dead. And what about that? What does he tell us here? First of all, he says it's Abraham's bosom. Abraham is going to be there comforting the people. Abraham is alive and well in this place. And later on, when Jesus on the cross, he's talking to the thief on the cross. He says, today you will be with me where? In paradise, right? Do you like the idea of paradise? I mean, when you think about paradise, what do you think about? I think about the best place there could possibly be. Maybe about 72 degrees for a top temperature. Maybe 62 degrees, low temperature. No, that's not Hawaii. I'm not talking about Hawaii, okay? I'm talking about paradise. Because in Hawaii, they still have storms. They have fires. If you know about anything like that happened, about this is paradise. This is the best of the best. Where was Cain and Abel play? Where were they at? Don't you think about them when they first came, that they were in paradise, a place similar to maybe what he's talking about here, except as a physical. This is a spiritual place he's talking about for us. And then there was a place on the other side called torment.
This word that is used here is Gehenna. It's another one of those two words that is mistranslated. And torment Gehenna, torment, means a place of torment. It's a place of very unpleasant things. And we see also then this picture, and this is an old painting, an old picture. But you see on one side, is it looks like, does that look like Abraham to you? How many of you have seen a picture of Abraham, have actually seen Abraham, a photograph maybe? Now, we don't know what he actually looks like, but Jesus knew what he looked like, didn't he? And that when the poor beggar was at, he said he was in Abraham's bosom. And between him and Lazarus, which is on the other side, the rich man, I mean, on the other side, was a great gulf fixed. And he said, we can't get from one place to the other. In other words, there was a place that was paradise, that was Abraham's bosom, that was good, and on the other side was a place of torment. And he says, my mouth is burning. And he says, go and tell my brothers about this place so they don't come here. Send somebody back. And of course, Abraham said, even if they go and tell them, they have the word of God and they have Moses and the word of God to tell them. If you were in torment, may God never be. Okay, we're talking about saved people here today, mostly. We're talking about those that are righteous, that are right with God, that are going to heaven. They're going to be with God forever. But if for some reason we ended up in that awful place, would you want anybody else that you knew or loved to come there and be there too? Man, I wanted to have everything be taken care of, everything we could do to keep them out of torment and to bring them to paradise and eventually to heaven. One thing else that we need to note about this place, and once we die, time ends. You see, time is for us. The moon and the stars, the sun and everything, the 24 hours a day, you know, and so on. Even though some of us maybe would like to have 26 hours a day. But time, we have time here. But when we go there, time ends. Now, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us what it means to be in an environment where there is no time, except it tells us that if we're right with God, we're going to live eternally. We get to live forever with Him. But also, if we're not right with God, we live forever in eternal hell, in torment and then eternal hell. So we need to make sure that as we walk in with God, as it says in Revelation, that we keep His commandments and we have faith in Jesus Christ and walk with Him. So that's what we need to do, because we don't want to end in the bad part here. So when Jesus does come back, what about those that have died in the Lord? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, we've talked about this before, but the idea of sleep here in the New Testament is just another word for dying, that have died in the Lord, that have died in Jesus, that are right with God. And what does He say He's going to do? He's going to bring with Him those who have died in the Lord, right? So they're the first ones that go to be with Jesus, to meet Him in the sky, to meet Him in the air. For the Lord Himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So we're waiting, and if we are in Hades, we are waiting in Abraham's bosom, we're waiting in paradise. We get to be first. We get to be first, right? To go and be with Jesus, to stand before Him at the judgment seat of God. Because after the resurrection, the next thing that's going to happen is the judgment that's going to be. Everybody's going to be, because it tells us here in Philippians 2 and verse 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Now, some people say, well, how is this being? I've talked about this some before, but I want to talk about it just a moment more. You see, because some people say, well, if it's over, we already decided in Hades, why do we have to stand before the judgment seat? Well, it's kind of like when a judge comes in and makes a decision, right? He may say that we're going to have a judge, and we're going to have a jury, and we're going to decide where you're going to go, and you're going to go wait until the judgment, before the judgment comes about. And then you go from a jail to a prison if you've been a bad person, right? You wait, and then you go, because the final judgment's been stated. We're told that everyone, good, bad, are going to bow their knee before Jesus and the judgment day, every day. And people said, man, think about all the people that have lived. It's going to take forever. How much time is there in heaven? Eternity, right? There is forever, and so where it's not going to matter. Everybody is going to stand at, well, kneel before Jesus at the judgment seat in that day. And so the righteous, unrighteous, both will. And then, but Jesus is going to say, we're told in the other places in the scripture, you go here or you go there. You're righteous to heaven, unrighteous to hell. So what will heaven be like? Now we could go to Revelation chapter 21 and 22 and look at all the pictures that the Bible tells us about heaven. We're not going to go all there today, okay? We're not going to spend all that time there. But what about us? What's it going to be like? Well, first of all, let's recap just a moment. Eternal spiritual body. Eternal. Forever. We're going to be we're going to the place of the dead, or Hades. We've been there. We're going to come out of that to face the knee before Jesus and go to be with him forever at that time. And that's the judgment time that we're talking about. And then we'll go to paradise, we'll go from paradise to heaven forever. Forever and ever. And that's a long time. I don't know how, can you begin to imagine, I mean, we measure everything, don't we, by time. You know, we ask someone, say, how old are you? Well, I'm this age. And when someone asks a young person how old they are, they're maybe 10 or 11 or whatever, they might say that, or 16 or 18 or 19. And it seems like, when you think about it, I've lived all my life, right, till I'm 19. Or I've lived all my life until I'm 90. But what is that? The Bible says it's just a speck of time. It's just a moment compared to eternity. So it's hard for us to picture in our own mind how great eternity is, excuse me, and how long it's going to last. Revelation chapter 21, let's take a little bit of look at this. God himself will be with them and be their God. He's talking about those people that have come to heaven. God himself will be with them. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is something, how do I wrap my head around this? Our God, who is the God of all creation, the God of all the universe, he's going to be with you and me. God is going to be with us. And he's going to be there. We can talk to him. We can listen to him. He's going to be our light. He's going to be our God, but he's going to be our dad, our father also. We get to be with God. Boy, that's amazing. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every tear. Now, I don't know, sometimes, if you notice or not, but I go like this sometimes. I've got some tear glands back in here someplace, wherever they come from. And they don't work really well. They come out a whole lot more than what I want. It's not just when I'm emotional, but sometimes, the reason I take off my glasses, for example, if I sneeze or something, is because if I do, the tear glands are going out on my glasses here. And it makes it a mess, you know. But you see, it's more than that, isn't it? Why do we cry? Why do we cry? What's the next part tells us here? There shall be no more death. There shall be no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Think about, these are the things that bring us difficulty and hurt and pain in our life, isn't it? Death, the death of a loved one is so hard. It's so hard for us to deal with. Even if we know that they've been living with God, living right with God, and they're going to be with God eternally. But that's hard for us because it means loss for us. There's not going to be any more death. And so what happens when we die? We have sorrow, and that God builds it into us. We have this idea of how do we grieve. We do that. We grieve here. But there's not going to be any death. There's not going to be any sorrow. None whatsoever. Nor crying. And there shall be no more pain. I think every one of us, most of us, can relate to the idea of no pain. And it's one of the things else we need to think about. You know, what about that those that have died before us and they're not Christians? People have said, well, will we miss them? How does this relate to that? If we miss them and we hurt them and we're sorrowful that they can't be there, we would have sorrow. God says there's going to be no sorrow there. no crying. I don't know how that works. I don't know if God is going to just take that part of our past and our memory away. But he says there's no sorrow there. Now that means doesn't mean we're not going to be sorrowful here as we think about that. If someone we know has not been walking with God dies, that's why we work really hard to bring people to Christ. And another thing here is that he says, I'm going to make all things new. I like clothes that, there's certain clothes I like, and we've talked about this, that, you know, I like certain things. I don't want my house, my clothes to wear out. And if you had a house that you owned, and every 5 years you needed to paint it, you don't have to paint it. What about that sorrow, that about the idea that we sang today about, I got a mansion up there, right? Do you know that you're not going to be tired in heaven? So you don't need any bedrooms. What's all going to be in that mansion up there? Don't need any bedrooms, don't need any beds, because you're not going to be tired. So what's in my mansion? Will we eat? Well, I know we're going to eat the fruits of the, you know, of the fruit of life, right? But will we need a stove? Is there anything we'll be cooking? There's things we don't know, people. But what we do know is that we can rejoice in, because God has told us this is what he wants us to know. This is what we need to know. We have the opportunity to be with him forever, and that everything is going to be new. Nothing is going to wear out, including our spiritual body. No more aches, no more pains. We'll continue on, drop down to Revelation 22, verses 6 and 7. I will give the fountains of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. So we know that if we thirst, and I guess maybe we will thirst because he says that, right? That what's the best thing that we can do is the waters of eternal life. And I don't think we have, my opinion, I don't think we have to drink that water to continue to live in heaven. No, and I don't, again, I don't understand, but it's there for us. We're told that the tree of life, that God had told that they had to take Adam and Eve out of the garden because if they ate it, they would live forever. Well, there's going to be trees of life on both sides of the river of life. And so these are some things that we know about, and yet we don't know at all. And what do you say? I mean, have you heard people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about that. You're going to get to ask God about it because he's going to be with you, right? Wrong button. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. If you will do what God has called you to do and be as you want to be here, God is going to be with you, and he says it's all going to be yours. It's all going to be yours. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. To walk with God and to walk with the Son. You know, we sing songs about walking with God, right? And we know what that means. That means we live with God. We know that God is with us here. We know that he's with us. We're told that we are the holy temple of God, and that God dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Jesus, we are in Christ, and he is in us. But it's more than that. It's going to be in person, like we can see and know and feel and talk and share. Pretty good news. Pretty wonderful news. Well, will we know people in heaven? Another question that comes up. Jesus, let's talk about Jesus and the story of the Sadducees. The Sadducees had come to Jesus trying to trap him, and they had talked about that, you know, there was a story about if a man died in the Old Testament, then his wife married the next brother so that they were able to continue the line. And they took it to the extreme and said, seven sons, seven brothers, they all died. Whose wife is she going to be in the judgment? In Mark 12, 26 and 27, Jesus makes this quote about God. He says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. They were greatly mistaken that, of course, the Sadducees believed that there was no resurrection, that there was no life after you died. And this is what Jesus is saying to them. God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. We already saw that Abraham was alive, right? On the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter, James, and John went with him. Matthew 17, verses 3 and 4. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Jesus and Moses and Elijah knew each other, and they were talking together. But what about Peter, James, and John? They saw these two men and immediately knew who they were. Lord, let us make a tabernacle for one for each of you. One for Moses and one for Elijah. Was Moses and Elijah alive? They were alive and talking to Jesus. And so what can we draw from that? If they are alive, will we be alive? If Peter, James, and John knew Moses and Elijah, will we know Moses and Elijah? Again, imagine walking down the streets of gold, and you pass, you say, well, hello, Elisha. Oh, Job, it's so good to see you. You know people, and you, if your family is there, your parents are there, you're going to know them, and they're going to know you. I don't know if I'm going to have the same body. I mean, if I had a request, I would say, okay, God, give me a younger body than what I die in, right, Lord? I don't know. I know God is going to take care of us, right? He's going to take care of us. He's going to bless us. He's going to give us the best possible body that we could have. But we will know each other in heaven. Well, it starts with dying in the Lord. We will need to make sure, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we keep the commandments of God, that we have faith in Jesus, and that we die in the Lord, that we live our lives in Christ all the way through, that we die in Him. We will have, therefore, an eternal spiritual body, whether we die in the Lord for heaven or if we die out of Christ and go to hell. But we will have an eternal, either eternal blessings or eternal condemnation. We will, as Christians, we will wait. If we die before He comes, we will be waiting in paradise for that day. All will face the final judgment. All will bow the knee before Jesus Christ. In heaven, everything is good. And maybe that's a real understatement. Everything is probably going to be great beyond our imagination. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no bad memories there. No tears, no pain. We'll be in the presence of God, and the presence of Jesus will be with them. I've often thought that if I could go back to any time in history, I'd go back so I could be a disciple of Jesus when He walked on the earth. But you see, it's even going to be better than that, because that was just 3 years. We get to go and be with them forever. We will know everyone there. We will know everyone there. We will know Moses and Elijah. We will know Abraham. We will know all of them. We'll know family and friends that have gone before us, that have gone to heaven. So, are you ready to die and to go to be with God? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking anybody that you're seeking to go die now. That's not what I'm saying. But if it happens to you, I just got back from a 512-mile trip, and Lord willing, Lord brought me back. And you've been on trips like that in your car, you've driven places, you've gone long distances, maybe you've flown in planes. So we don't know when that's going to be. But when the day comes, are you ready to go and be with God? He has called you to be with Jesus. For God so loved the world, right, that He gave His only begotten Son for you and for me. Jesus wants you to come to me. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. And yet, you need to understand that no one in hell wants you to come and be there. No one. They want you to go and be with God so they don't suffer an eternal punishment, but have the joy of being with God forever. Won't you come to Him now as together we stand and sing?
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above, while the light from the throne shines for you and me. Let us list to the call above. Zion's call.
Running from the throne above in heaven.
Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call above. While we tarry below, there is work to do, and our strength cometh from above. As we labor and wait, we must all be true. Let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above.
Thank everybody for being here this morning, early afternoon. If you're a visitor, we're glad that you wanted to spend your time with us this morning. If you're in the radio listening audience, we're glad that you tuned in and listened to us. And like I always say, if you have any questions, call the church building, and the number is on the website, and your questions can be answered. Let's remember all the information that James Miller gave us this morning in the middle of your bulletin. You ought to get a bulletin. It's got a lot of information in there, things that are going on, gospel meetings, lectureships, and special events, and then the ones on our prayer list, ones in our shut-in list. Let's remember the announcement that Brent had about the app that's coming up that he's preparing for us, and I appreciate him taking time out of his life to do that for us. And let's get those papers turned in to him so he can get his job done. And let's remember Dorothy and Charles and Don and Kathy and Mike and Melissa and Kevin Shaver and Pearl with her legs needing to heal up. Let's remember these individuals because they have some things really going on in their lives. And let's remember Dustin and Naomi, and it's good to see Roll back again today. It's always good to see Ro. Let's remember our Sunday worship is at 9:30 in the morning. Main lessons at 10:30. Sunday evening at 5. And Wednesday services at 6. Does anybody else have any announcements? Any input to add? Dave, you have something?
I'm going to say when I get up there.
Okay. Well, if not, I'll leave it to Dave, and then we'll have our prayer.
Before we close, I want to remind everybody, those of you who were part of our workshop, you remember what this is? Has everybody got one? And that's okay if you don't. We got a stack of them back on that table back. This is our compassion list. This is people that we're thinking about. We're supposed to be praying for these people. And you need to have some names filled out on that. And I'm going to ask if you've got that you get it out right now. I'm going to pause for you to find it, because we're going to practice this right now. Okay, I want you to look on your list, and if you don't have your list with you, I want you to think of this, because I'm going to name off a couple categories right now, because I filled out one today, and I'm going to use that category that I used. It's an unfortunate one. If you know someone who's in the process of getting a divorce, I know someone who's going through that right now. And so I've put their name on there. I've got a lot of information about them, and I'm going to hand that in. Who's getting cards this week? Is it your week, Chris? It's Stacy's week. Okay. So if you have someone that's getting a divorce, I'd like you to fill that card out and hand it to Stacy, or I'm going to pick another category. If you know someone who is celebrating the birth of a child, I'd like you to fill out one of these compassion cards and turn that in. Or if you know someone who has lost their job, I'm going to pick those categories. So if you know someone who is getting a divorce, someone who's lost their job, or something to celebrate, someone who has had a new child, I'd like you to fill that compassion card out and turn that in to Stacy before the day's over. So you got one more chance to do that tonight. So, Okay. Fill it out before tonight. Fill it out immediately. Hand it to Stacy immediately. As much information you could, that you can find. Someone that's lost their job, losing a spouse, or has a recent addition to their family through, we'll call it birth or adoption. You know, that's something like that would be something to celebrate. With nothing else, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are so very thankful, Father, that we're looking forward to that judgment day, Father, where we can be joined in heaven with Christ and you forevermore. Father, we can shed these bodies and get that spiritual body that doesn't know pain and doesn't know suffering. Father, that all the things of this life that leads to disappointment and pain and suffering will be over. And there will only be glory and peace and love forevermore through all eternity. We're looking forward to that day, Father. Bless us in our efforts, Father, to seek those that don't have those assurances that are outside of Christ. Help us, Father, to think seriously and to take a step of faith by providing their contact information to those on our team that's sending out these cards. Father, we pray for those, Father, that have lost their job. We are praying for those, Father, that are experiencing a tragic time of divorce. And we want to pray for them that things might work out in a better way, that they'll find new opportunities, Father, and they might find a way to heal their marriages. Father, we want to celebrate with those that are our neighbors and those that we know that are celebrating a new life, a new family member. We want to lift them up and bless their family as they experience that together. Watch over us, Father, as we separate from this worship service time. Help us, Father, to recognize that the field of harvest lies beyond these doors. Help us to be busy about doing our Father's work as our elder brother Christ was. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.